Hola. Buenos días, señores y señoras. Bienvenidos a la Oeste, calle principal de Iglesia de Cristo. Recientemente he aprendido que el mundo es grande. Todos vivimos en diferentes formas, tamaños, colores, dialectos. Puede que no me entiendas al Uguín que suene como yo, pero Dios sí. Now, most of you guys have no idea what that means, right? About a month ago, I didn't either. Well, it's been about 4 months now. I'll explain in a second. There it is up on the board if you'd like to read it. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for being here. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to come up and speak to you. Little preface to this lesson. I've been thinking about it for a long time. A little bit before I moved to Florida, but since I've been to Florida, I've had a bunch of thoughts, a bunch of ideas that have kind of been culminating together. And they really didn't come together till about 3:30 this morning. So bear with me. When I first started putting them together, they kind of came on like my tie this morning. When I put it on, it was about this short. And then I retied it. Now it's about working, but the backside's only that long. So hopefully my lesson will hold together as well as my tie has so far. What that really said was, like, you can read it word for word, that's a pretty direct translation. It says, welcome. That's what bienvenidos means. Hello and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the West Main Street Church of Christ. Recently, I've learned that the world is big. It's really big. We all come in different shapes, sizes, colors, dialects. And you might have not understood what I said, but God did. That's what I kind of want to focus on this morning. We have one song that everybody, I believe just about everybody in this room knows. And it was the title of my lesson. If I go back a couple slides, Jesus loves the little children. And we teach that to the little kids and we sing. It's a nice little song. But if you go on forward and focus on the lyrics. Next slide. So Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. All are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. More recently, I think the song might not be accepted or politically correct in present times. A lot of people don't like to be called red and yellow. But we teach our kids to be accepting of everyone, and that might not quite stand in today's society. And I've been thinking about that a lot. The more people I meet around the world, the more I understand about different cultures, the more I know how big the world is, but how small it is at the same time. As soon as I moved to Miami, they told me, Zach, Miami's the best city in Latin America. And I'm like, okay. That didn't make a lot of sense to me. But the longer I got there, the more I understood what they were saying. These people come from all over the place. And within the hospital I work at, most people are immigrants. They come from different places. One of the pod coordinators, which just means somebody that directs patients, one of the nicest people to me there in the building, he's from Uruguay. I wasn't even really sure where Uruguay was. I knew it was somewhere in South America, but it's right below Brazil if you want to look at a map. All kinds of people from Cuba. Cuban people don't speak the same way Mexican people speak. The Spanish comes from different places, but they all come to this place, this new country. You know, most of them are really grateful to be here, and you know, a lot of them are apologetic when they don't understand English, but you know, understandably for them, they come to this new place, they don't have to learn a new language, so it makes a little bit of sense. But they're all happy to be there, they're all happy to be Americans, and they're all happy to have the same legal rights that we have that they might not have had in other countries. So it's really opened my eyes as to what the rest of the world is, right? We preach and we talk all the time and we say in our prayers, you know, dear God, please be with our brothers and sisters around the world that don't have the same rights that we do, that don't have the same abilities that we do. They might be oppressed. They might be X, Y, Z. We say that stuff all the time. But that's easy just to say. And it's a nice sentiment. But you know, it's until you really get to know these people, they kind of feel like aliens. And pardon the word, we use illegal alien all the time, but they feel like somebody from a different planet, a different world, something we'll never see. We don't understand them. You know, they look different than us. But, you know, if they follow the gospel and they're Christians, they're no different than we are. I go to a church in Hollywood, Florida, which is a little bit south of Fort Lauderdale. And in my services, which I was really happy to be glad, I was happy to be here this morning. I forgot how loud the singing was. It's really stunning if you're away from it for a while. But in my church, it's about 50% Hispanic people. And during the sermon, all the Hispanics stand up and they go back into the classrooms and there's a separate sermon. There's somebody that does a Spanish sermon in the background. But the singing's not quite as strong there because there's only four or five American guys that do the services. Not all of them are, you know, great song leaders or anything like that. Everybody does their best. But the Hispanic people can't read the lyrics, so they can't sing along. They try their best, but it's all kind of wobbly and broken. But at the same time, I see these people every week. They're still diligent. They still come. They still try to read those words. You know, if I brought somebody up here and asked them to try to read that Spanish paragraph that I had, everybody would be kind of shaky because it's something they're not used to, something they're not familiar with. But it's encouraging to see those brothers and sisters in Christ just the same as we are. I still see them every week. They still walk up to me. They know a few English sentences. Hi, how are you? Good to see you. How are you doing this week? And they're some of the first people to talk to me. They're just the same as us, brothers and sisters in Christ. They might look a little different. They might sound a little different. But the world is big, but the church is small. So I'd like to start with a little exercise. And again, reinforce. Do we practice what we preach? I'd like to start with a little exercise. Do I have a laser? Cool, I do. Turn my pocket speaker on. So these are my colleagues. These are all the people that I work with in my hospital. And if I would ask you to pick which one is the African, it'd be hard to do because none of them looks like a Somali pirate, right? If you look at it for a second, you probably would think, well, I really don't know. It's actually that girl right there, really, really close friend of mine. She grew up in Zimbabwe on a safari camp. Her grandparents, fled Europe after World War II. If I ask you to find the guy that's from the Middle East, well, you look at her, she's standing in front of the Taj Mahal. She's actually from Yakima, not her. This guy, he was born in Morocco, grew up in France. He's Jewish. He fled Morocco under oppression, grew up in Paris. So he sounds French. He's got a French accent, but spent most of his life in Israel. So he moved there. He speaks all kinds of languages, French, some kind of Moroccan, I believe, Hebrew, English, Spanish, speaks lots of languages. Very nice guy, but, you know, that's not the laser. Sorry. Super nice guy, but, you know, he just looks like you and I. Until you meet these people, it's hard to tell you don't know anything about him. That guy, he's American. Doesn't look like the rest of us, but he's from Queens. This guy, he's also American, but I think he was born in Virginia, but his parents moved over here from Greece right before he was born. This girl, she's just as white as anybody in this building, but she's from Trinidad. I've only ever seen one person from Trinidad in my life, and they were black. I honestly had no idea what those people look like, what they sound like. They speak English. They have a different language, different accent than Jamaicans or Bahamians, people like that. Right there, you could guess she's the one from Asia. But she's actually from Calgary. She sounds just like you or I. When I met her, I found out her name is Xu Yi, and I was kind of like, oh man, this she might be kind of hard to talk to, hard to get used to. She's another one of my best friends. She goes by Emma, because Xu Yi is too hard to spell at Starbucks. Yeah, so these are all my friends. And you know, I'm just the hillbilly from Barnesville, right? I don't bring as much to the table as a lot of these people do, but you know, we all have the same goal. We all struggle with Spanish the same amount, except for that guy's not bad and this guy's pretty good. The rest of us have a lot of trouble. So we're all in the same ship, we're all fighting to do the same thing. We all have the same trouble, the same goal, same as the Church of Christ, right? And we all come together, we all have the same goal to get to heaven. We all are trying to do it the same way. We might not look the same, sound the same. You know, some of us have to fight hurricanes. Some of us have to fight tornadoes. Some of us have to fight blizzards. We're in different places in the world, but we all have the same goal, same idea. So my point being, you don't really know people. When we see people, we have these assumptions, usually based on people that we've seen before. I mean, that's kind of how we use those assumptions to guide our lives, guide our encounters with these people. Like I said, when I first met Xu Yi, I thought it might be a little tricky. I don't know if I'd be able to communicate with her very well, but like I said, she sounds just like you or I. She grew up in Calgary. But sometimes we let these assumptions kind of guide us. They take over us, take control just a little bit harder than we'd like them to. If we look at the Bible talks about appearance sometimes. We have an example of Elisha. He was bald. He got made fun of for being bald. Esau was hairy, covered in red hair. Like they said, it was like a jacket. King Solomon's really dark-skinned. Historians believe, the way it's written in Song of Solomon, it's kind of cryptic, but a lot of historians believe that he was African. He was really dark-skinned. He was black. Queen Vashti was famously beautiful. But the Bible doesn't focus on these attributes of these people in a little ways. I mean, we talk about Esau being hairy and Jacob used that, and Vashti being beautiful is relevant to her story. But what the Bible focuses on about these people was Elisha was a prophet for God. You know, he was famous for carrying on God's word and doing what God commanded him. Esau was forgiving to his brother Jacob. King Solomon was wise, the wisest man who ever lived. You know, you don't really ever think about him, what color he was. You know, a lot of times we kind of project ourselves onto these characters. We think about them being, Anglo-Saxon historian, white people just like we are. And we see pictures from the Catholic Church that's famous with that. But Jesus most likely wasn't a white man with a beard and long brown hair. He's most likely Middle Eastern, what we would see as Middle Eastern these days. And again, Queen Vashti, she was beautiful. It's relevant, but she's famous for being modest. She didn't show herself off like her husband asked her to. So let's move on to the facts. If we look back in Genesis, I'll take a few things from Genesis. Starting Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. The second half of verse 20 says, and all of this is taken from the New American Standard Bible, if you read along with me. Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh of that place. And the Lord God fashioned a woman from the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Further down a couple chapters in Genesis chapter 4, we see they had a couple of kids, Adam and Eve. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve. She conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, "I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord." And again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Abel was the keeper of the flocks, and Cain was the tiller of the ground. And a lot of us know the story of Cain and Abel, and I'm not going to dwell on that right now. But point being, we see the lineage of all mankind. God set it in stone right there. We all come from the same two people. God created Adam from the dust, and he created Eve from Adam. We all go back to the same point. If you think about, if we see an Indian person, right? You see them on the street, you kind of have these assumptions about them. They come from this other part of the world that's a lot hotter than us. They have elephants, tigers, whatever you want to think about. That's what you think. God sees that person in a blink of an eye. He can trace that lineage straight back to Adam. He knows everything about that guy, and they all come from the same place. Same as you. You all come from the same fork. It's a pyramid. He landed over here, but you landed over here. To God, you still come from the same place. There's no difference. A little bit further in Genesis chapter 10, I won't read this chapter because it's kind of confusing. You can read it on your own. But if you gather from that, we see that the sons of Noah after the ark went to different parts of the world. We believe that Noah landed in this area, but as his descendants split off, Japheth's family went north, Shem's went down into what we call Saudi Arabia these days, and Ham went out into Africa. So geographically, as people, as cultures and people and families get bigger and bigger, you got to spread out. You got to get more ground. It's just the nature of the beast. And the way I can compare this today is it's an easy comparison that we can look at just whitetail here in the Ohio Valley. If you look at what we would call an Ohio big buck from here, deer get really, really big, and it's impressive. They have a good feed and good habitat over here. But if you cross just into Wheeling, you can go to Wheeling to Olive Garden for dinner. Like, we wouldn't think anything of going that far. But as soon as you get across the river, the makeup of the wildlife changes because you've got this natural divide, the Ohio River. The deer can't, they could try to get across the bridge on I-70, I suppose. But most likely, all the deer stay on that side. The West Virginia's deer stay on that side. The Ohio deer stay on this side. And you can look at the genetics and the makeup of them, and they look really different. There's different kinds of animals. And you can see the same thing is bound. It's just part of God's design. That's the way that living beings grow and change on Earth. Is as you spread them out, you put natural barriers and divides between them, the genetic makeup of them is going to change. And naturally, that's what happened with Noah's sons and their lineages. As they spread out, their composure changed. And even more so, if you go to the next chapter, in Genesis chapter 11, it says, "Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. And it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shur and settled there." They found a plain, pardon me. "And they said one to another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they used brick for stone and they used tar for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech.' So that the Lord scattered them abroad there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. So again, we see God spread them out even more, and he confused their language. Another example of, you know, how mankind messed up. God had to punish him, and that's why we have what we have today. We have different languages. You can go back to the Garden of Eden and the punishments that Adam and Eve had to do. That's why we have childbirth the way we have today. That's why we have to work for the ground. We still do these things today. We don't really think about why, but you can trace it straight back to the Old Testament. Why don't we all sound the same? Well, it's part of God's punishment. He separated them. So if you think about the Tower of Babel, like I said, God had to do what he did because of mankind's ignorance. But if you fast forward a little bit down the road, mankind's kind of come back together. There were a group of people called the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians were seafarers, ship people that went from port to port. And, you know, obviously they had to deal with the different kinds of people, so they developed a singular alphabet. And that's what most cultures of the world use today. It's the same one that we have in the English language. Most Latin-based languages use them. When you get out the Russian, Chinese, Asian languages are a little bit different. But that's why, you know, nowadays we can a little bit more easily communicate with each other than they could back in the Tower of Babel. Back then their languages were so different they just had to scatter. And we've kind of regressed a little bit so that we can communicate with each other a little better. So, what's the point? When I was an undergrad, I had a microbiology teacher that I really didn't like. I didn't learn anything from him. But the one thing I do remember is not important. He would say, he'd make a point that, and he would ramble on and on. He was a little short guy. He always wore a Michigan State sweatshirt. And he would kind of be walking around like this and facing the wall and just kind of wandering around, and most of us would be asleep. And then all of a sudden he'd point out and he'd call, "Mr. Smith." And that one guy would be like, "What? Leave me alone." And he'd go, "What's the point?" And he's like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Whenever I call your name, I want you to yell those words. What's the point?" Because the professor would go on and on about stuff we really didn't care about. We didn't know what was going on. So he would bring us back in, and that means, pay attention, because this is what I'm trying to talk about. So what's the point? This is where I want to go with this lesson. Read with me in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things, and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that kindness of God leads you to repentance?" Verse 5 says, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up with yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds, to those by perseverance in doing those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For there is no partiality with God." That's the one verse I really want to hang on. There's no partiality with God. He talks about everybody's going to get their just desserts, either just or unjust. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, you're a Greek, where you came from. Like I said, with the same example, God can look at Ty, he can look at Judy, he can look at Emily, and all trace you straight back to your same lineage. A lot of us kind of merge together here in this building because we come from the same one. But you can take people from opposite sides of the world, and instantaneously God knows how you track back to Adam. You all go down one side of the pyramid or the other side of the pyramid. We see so superficially, but everything is all connected to God. Like Rick said, circle of life. So God doesn't see different colors, short, tall, fat, skinny, white, purple, pink, whatever colors I have up here. He doesn't see the differences. What he sees is inside of you, what you've purposed in your heart, what your soul's striving for. Not the way you say what you say, meaning the language that you use, but the message that you're trying to convey when you pray to God. Do you ever think about that? About the thoughts that culminate in your head. We've all learned the English language, so the voice that you hear in your head comes out in English, but before you even form a sentence inside your head in English language, but you have an idea before it even comes out as a word. That's what God understands. He understands the idea that's brewing inside your head before you even string it into a sentence. The language doesn't mean anything to God. It's your feeling, your heart, your soul, what you purpose, how you actually feel. That's what God hears. Let's read from Luke chapter 10. Let's read about the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And the lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Verse 30 says, Jesus replied to him and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance a priest was going down on the other side of the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came up to him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these three do you think provided to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." And Jesus said, "Go and do the same." And we read this story a lot, and you know, we focus on how the higher up people, the people that you would expect, the priest and the Levite, both sort of the same caliber, you know, the higher up people in the church, the people you would expect, what we would consider to be, you know, today a preacher, pastor, whatever you want to say, of different congregations or people of the world. Today we would expect them to put that forth that extra mile. But focus on the Samaritan, right? The Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. And this is, it'd be the last guy you expected to come and help somebody in the dirt, right? So, you know, if you're driving along the road and 2 guys come up to help you about the same time and you had to pick one, you know, which one would you subconsciously be a little more afraid of? You know, if you had a white guy come up to help you on the side of the road, if you had, you know, this Punjabi guy come up, you know, maybe you might be a little bit leery of the Punjabi guy. Let alone, say, hey, just holding a sword there. That doesn't help. Sorry about that. Mike has a golf club. That's a weapon, too. But subconsciously, you know, you're just more comfortable, right? You're more comfortable with what you see, what you know, who you know, people that look like you. You're a little less intimidating. I'm also at fault with this. And my schedule at work, I have it set to see. I know what their preferred languages is. And if I can help it, I don't take the Spanish patients. I can do it, but I don't like it because it's really hard. It's really hard. But I don't think the Jew really cared who was pulling him out of the ditch at this point in time, you know? And a lot of you made that face when I asked. And I said, who would you prefer to help you out when you pulled over the side of the road? A lot of you guys are like, I don't really care. I just want somebody to help me change my flat tire, right? I saw that in Sue's face. And by the way, both these guys are really good friends of mine. I go to school with them. But the Jew didn't care, you know, who pulled him out of the ditch. And we focus on how the priest and the Levite passed him up and the Samaritan's the one to get him. But from the Jew's perspective, you know, he's laying there half dead. You know, I'm sure he was just over the moon that somebody stopped to help him, right? I don't think he really much cared what the guy looked like. At that point in time, you know, it's pretty easy to set your differences aside when you're half dead on the side of the road. Let's read Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up in faith, which was later to be revealed. Therefore the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we might be justified by faith. But now the faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise." And that one's pretty self-explanatory. So, kind of a wrapping up thought a little bit. I got a few more slides after this. But it's hard to tell, you know, who's really on the same side as you. We talk about the sheep and the goats all the time. But this was an experience that I had shortly after moving to Florida that it was wild for me. A patient I had, she came in for what we would call a pressure check. She had glaucoma, but that just basically means that it should be like a 3-minute exam. It's really get in, get out, no problem. You know, you're just coming in here so I can measure. Basically like getting your blood pressure read. You go get your blood pressure read, that's done in a couple seconds. Most people are familiar with that, right? That's all she was in for. Same thing with her eye pressure. But she speaks Spanish and she sits down and she's really nice. I can tell she's really nice because she's trying really hard to talk to me, but I'm like, I'm sorry, señora. Perdóname, no entiendo mucho español. You know, mi español es muy poquito. I'm just telling her, like, I don't understand. I'm sorry. I really want to. I want to be nice to you. I want to talk to you. You look like a nice person. And she's just trying so hard. You know, she's breaking stuff down. She understood no English whatsoever. So that made it really hard on me back then. But I started to figure out some of the words she said. She's like, you seem like a nice guy. Do you have a wife here in Florida? I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I don't have a wife. Thanks for asking. That's nice of you. She's like, well, you seem like a really nice guy. She tried to say something. I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't catch that. And so she pulls out her phone. She starts using Google Translate, which is what I have to do all day, every day. I had a resident I worked for that used to voice the text into Google Translate, and half of it would be wrong, and she would just hold it up. She didn't care. Whatever came out, came out. So. But it's a great help. Without it, a lot of us would be in big trouble. And she said something about God. I'm like, oh, I caught that word. And she tried to say, God bless you, but I didn't quite catch it. I thought she was asking me if I go to church. She's like, oh, Iglesia de Cristo. She, me too. I go to the Church of Christ. And she's like, it's an honor to meet you. I'm so happy to meet somebody that goes to the Church of Christ, a fellow brother and sister in Christ, which, you know, We feel the same way. You know, you're shocked when you hear somebody else goes to the Church of Christ, but that was the last place I expected to find it. I had no idea what she was trying to tell me. I did not think that's the way that was the counter was going to go. But she was a super nice lady. She said, God bless you. I hope things go well for you in your endeavors. Thank you for helping me. It was so nice to meet you. And that was staggering to me. That's where this lesson came from. You know, these people, I just expected, you know, this is another person. I don't understand her. She's going to come in here and say stuff. And I'm not going to get anything from it because I don't even know what she's saying. But we broke it down. She was really patient, really nice. And I'll never forget that encounter. And it's nice that, you know, that there are other people out there in the rest of the world. Sometimes we feel isolated, especially here in the United States. But there are other Christians out there. There's still hope. So I'd like to wrap up a little bit with one last story. And I'm going to talk about the parable of the talents. And I thought I was going to do it in a new way, but we hit that pretty hard in Bible study this morning. So I'm going to hit just about everything we talked about earlier. If you were in one of the other classes, then you can kind of get filled in. So last weekend, I was really glad my parents came down to visit me. It's the first time I saw them in a while. I didn't expect to be here today. Really happy to see all of you, but I was happy that they just came down. Nonetheless, we did, you know, we were able to go on a little trip and we were over to visit the Bahamas. Like I said, I was just happy to be with them. But we were in the Bahamas, and my dad and I went on to Nassau. And there's a straw market there. And I've heard my mom and dad talk about the straw market from when they were there years ago. And it is a sight to see, and it's a little bit overwhelming. It's kind of like a swap meet that we would have here, but the people are running around. They come up and, you know, grab you. Come over to my little stand and buy my little wood carving. You need to come here and you need to buy this because, you know, you got off the cruise ship and you're a white American and you have money, right? And that's, you know, kind of overwhelming. So we walked out of the, so where I work is kind of a rough, where I work and live in Miami is a rough part of the city. So I'm kind of used to dealing with people that I'm afraid of. And again, this comes back to that innate sense, right? You've got to have some kind of sense of protection. You know, it doesn't matter what color, shape this person is. If they look scary, they look scary. There's a white guy that I passed every morning that he's staring there, sitting on the ground, staring at his cigarette, babbling some kind of language I don't understand. And I walk a little bit faster because innately, he's a scary guy. And we have those feelings. And the people in the straw market, you know, they kind of leave a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth because they're really pushy and they want you to they want some of your money because you have it. And so we go outside and we were just trying to tour the island a little bit, trying to get to the other side. And we met a cab driver. And we get inside, and, you know, he was super nice, too. He was doing his job. I mean, these guys just trying to make a living. And we get inside, and he goes, man, guys, I'm glad you got in my cab. it's really hot out there. I wanted to come in here and sit in the air conditioning too. So we got in his cab and he took us to the other side of the island, and you know, he started telling us about himself a little bit. Super nice guy. He's got a son in Nova Scotia. He's trying to move up there to be with his family, just make some money to just to get up and be with his family. His son's in Canada for college. But these two people left an impression on me, right? Both of them are trying to make a living. Both of them are just doing what they can to get by. But one guy was honest. He was kind. You know, he was sincere. And the other people were aggressive and, you know, all over the place and you know, just kind of scary, in your face. You know, the two people were the same ethnicity. Most people in the Bohemian areas and Jamaica and islands like that are of African descent because of slave trade and what happened in years past. But they look the same, but the personality that came through those people were very different. So just because somebody looks some way and sounds some way doesn't mean that they're going to act a certain way. So let's look in Matthew chapter 25. We'll read the parable of the talents since we talked about it so much this morning. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey, and immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one that had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought in 5 more talents, saying, Master, you have entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. And the master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Verse 22 says, Also the one that had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted two talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. And lastly, in verse 26, he said, But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put money in the bank, and on my arrival I would receive my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him. Give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even when he does not have, shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, into the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So my final takeaway from this lesson is literally just reinforcing what we talked about in class this morning. I thought it was going to be original, but that's okay. I'm glad we got a warm-up. We talked about in class how there, you know, there are big churches of 500, you know, and Pop was talking about how they do the Lord's Supper once a month. And in small little churches with one guy that has to do all the work does the Lord's Supper every week as they're commanded. It doesn't matter, you know, how many you got to start with. It matters, you know, what you did with it and how you handled yourself in the encounter. If you go back to the people from the straw market versus the cab worker, both of them were just trying to make a living. Both of them are just trying to get by. Both of them had to deal with the white tourist people that come across the boats from the United States. You know, they're different. They've got money. We don't have as much money. We're poor. We're just trying to make a living. We're just trying to get by. But the guy in the cab opened his soul, tried to make a friend, just told the truth, was honest about it. The people in the straw market were a little shady, aggressive. You know, they're just trying to focus more on making the money than doing a good job with what they're supposed to do. So we don't always have to use our prejudices, right? Like I said, the two people from the Bahamas, they look the same, they sound the same, but they didn't act the same. Do you let these prejudices control your life? How you think about the people outside the world. It's a lot easier here in our little tiny oasis of Barnesville. There's not very many people that don't look like us. We're all of European descent for the most part. But these prejudices aren't innately there. They're taught to us. There's a lot of good people out in the world. There's a lot of bad people out in the world. And that's easy to hang on to. It's easy to stay in your cozy little corner and to push everybody else that's scary away. But I read this story one time. It has to make you smile. I don't know if anybody's ever seen this before. These are two little boys in the same class. And they decided it would be really funny if they got the same haircut so their teacher couldn't tell them apart. And see, it just tells you that, you know, a lot of these prejudices we have, they're taught to us. You know, they're not innate. They're not natural. People are good if you let them be good. People are bad if you let them be bad. You know, you can't treat people differently because of the way they look, the way they sound. And this, like I said, this lesson is mostly just, you know, tales of my journey to the southern part of this country. You've listened well, and I appreciate your patience and your listening. I hope you can take something away from this. You know, if you feel like your life hasn't been going the way you want it to, if you've let prejudices in your life, if you let temptations in your life, if you let things take control of you, instead of letting the Bible guide you the way the Bible wants you to guide, the Bible guides you to be the person you should be. I always hate asking people to come to the front pew because I feel like it's really impersonal. You know, if you're having a problem, take it specifically to somebody and make it somebody else's problem. Don't just kind of throw it out into the congregation like a fishnet. Anything, relative to my lesson or anything else, if you're having trouble, tell somebody specifically. It doesn't have to be a big public problem, but just ask somebody to share your load. Same applies for coming to God. If you haven't become a Christian, if you haven't been baptized into Jesus Christ, you're more than welcome to come take a seat on the front pew. But you know, if you want to make it more personal, if you want more study, if you have more questions, just ask somebody specifically. Anybody here, specifically the elders and deacons, would be more than happy to help you. Let me switch this over. Invitation songs number 271. Near to the heart of God. Like I said, if you have need, we're going to stand up and sing a song here in a second. You can come forward, but otherwise, just make sure you come to somebody about it. Please stand and sing for the song.